Hey, it's Trevor Grant from Revenue Hub. Welcome to another of our Who Are We videos, where we talk with one of our expert partners and find out a bit more about them and their organisation. Today, we're joined by Pablo Delgado, CEO of Mirai. Pablo talks about his background, the early days of Mirai, and how it evolved as the internet started booming. We also hear about Mirai's typical client profile, their core services, and why Pablo feels this difficult year will provide opportunities for hoteliers prepared to invest in core elements that support the direct channel. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey, Pablo, how are you? You well?
Good, very good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Good to see you again. And firstly, delighted to have you guys on board as an expert partner. Really looking forward to working with you over the coming year. In terms of developing ideas and getting your voice out there. I know we've worked on a couple of projects before, which have really gone down well. So looking forward to bringing some more of those to our community and our audience. But a great chance, I thought, to get you on here and really just have a chance to talk to you about Mirai and understand a bit more, firstly, about your kind of background and then looking at the company, how it's grown, how it's evolved. So that's really the focus of this conversation. So probably natural to hand over to you and say, let's hear a little bit about you first and foremost.
All right. So let's start. So I was born in Madrid in Spain, and I even though I work in a technology company, in a tourism company, in a hospitality company, in my background is computer engineering. So I just studied kind of engineering. I had no clue what to study when I was young. So I followed my older brother and I did engineering. And then I love it. But I had the good luck to meet one person, which is the founder of Mirai, actually, that is called Minoru Watabe, which he's from Japan, when I was in the third year at the university.
Oh, right.
So he called me because he needed some coding, right, for a company that he was founding about hotels, about hospitality. That was Mirai, right? And this is when I met him and I started working in Mirai when I was 21, right?
Oh, wow.
And this is my change of industry, right, from technology to hospitality. It was a gradual change. Of course, I did everything, the coding, the systems, for a few years. And after, I think it was like 10 years, because that was in 1996, so a long time ago, Trevor, long time ago. I feel very old when I talk about this year, right? And I went, after 10 years, I had the opportunity, and I feel very lucky about it, to go to the States to study MBA. So a master in business administration in the US for 2 years. So that was the definitely turning point from being a technician, an engineer, to being like moving to the business side of the company.
Yeah.
And then I went from technician to the CTO and then to CEO of the company where I am now. So this is kind of my background.
So you've been there right from almost very early, very early days.
I left a couple of times. I went for a company was called, I don't know if you remember it. It was called Lucent Technologies.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
So we are old, Trevor. Lucent Technologies existed, and they had a plant in Madrid, which was 24/7. It was a very, very fascinating project. I worked there for 2 years, and they disappeared. They merged with Alcatel. I don't know if you remember Alcatel. So they merged and kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Mirai. And my second kind of gap was going to the US to study because it was studying full time. So I didn't work at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I went back.
And although the company, we'll talk about the company in a moment, you're based out in the US now, yeah?
Yeah. So, I've been always in Madrid. The company was based in Madrid, was launched in Madrid, and it's still headquartered in Madrid. But now I live in Miami, so it's been a year and pretty much a half. Mm-hmm. Our idea was to grow the business here on this side of the ocean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Mirai then. I mean, you've introduced a little bit into it. Mm-hmm. So we know that it was established back in around the early mid 90s when you then started to get involved with that. Just tell us a little bit, some of the basics initially, what's its profile, where's it based, where do you have your offices, kind of size of the company, that kind of thing.
So Mirai, I mean, we started in Madrid. It was founded by Minoru. Mm-hmm. Minoru came to Spain by luck or by chance. So he founded a company based on the internet. Internet was pretty much non-existent in Europe.
Yeah.
He saw it in Japan, and he thought that it was. I mean, Europe was had. I think it still is. Few years behind Japan in many aspects in technology, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So he saw that the internet was booming, and he saw there were lots of opportunities. So that was the origin of the company, and he thought that internet and tourism is the main industry in Spain, so it would be a good fit.
Yep.
So he founded the company. That was in 1995, and up to today, he started one. I was the third employee, actually. some kind of quarrel between Luis and me because who was the second or the third that nobody knows. And now there are 110 of us in Mirai.
Wow.
We're present in 5 countries, which is Spain, France, Portugal, the US, and Mexico. Even though Mexico and the US is still a brand new opportunity that is kind of paused because of this circumstance.
Obviously with
right?
that crisis, yeah, yeah.
And we have in Spain 9 offices. So we are, because Mirai moved from an IT company to a service company. And service means you need to be close to your clients.
Yeah.
So we have offices in Madrid, we have offices in Palma, Mallorca, in the Canary Island, in Barcelona, in Benidorm, in Gijón, in Marbella. We have many offices very close to our core markets, right? It's good and bad because, I mean, scaling is difficult when you're a service company.
Yeah, much more.
But at the same time, you can fight back with the commoditization of the technology.
Yes.
Because you are far from the technology.
Yeah.
So it has pros and cons.
As do most things.
Correct. That is correct.
And we'll get on to your sort of solutions and what services you provide in a moment. But just first and foremost, to frame that, in terms of your typical client profile, do you have a Mirai typical mm-hmm. client?
Sure.
You know, is it chains,
sure,
independence?
Do. Yeah. I mean, if you see our portfolio, there's no typical client because, I mean, being a 20-year-old company, the typical client 15 years ago is not the
very
typical client
now.
Today.
Yeah.
So, but fortunately, our churn is very low. Which makes us very happy. Mm-hmm. But we keep a lot of independent hotels. We work with a lot of hostels still, which is long tail independent hotels, in especially in Madrid, in the surroundings of Madrid, because mm-hmm. it was the beginning of the company. We still work with a lot of them. We have been moving from independent hotels to large independent properties to mid-size sort of chains.
Yeah.
And we aim to grow a little to the mid-size, to maybe to the big guys, even though big guys is a very difficult layer and they have their own technology. So we know that we're going to work with Marriott or with the Starwood, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot that they have their own Mirais within their own. But at the same time, we can work with the mid-tail, right? Which is from 5 to 50 to 100 properties. Even though we should measure in number of rooms instead of properties, because the hotel business is measuring number of rooms.
Yeah.
And there are hotels that are maybe they have 1,000 rooms.
Yeah.
So it's like a hotel chain in Italy of 20 hotels. It's one hotel in Cancun, for instance. So, so we talk about rooms, not about properties.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit then, if you can, introduce us to the to your solutions, your services, your offering, and if you up to you how you want to outline it to us, whether you want to talk about where it started and then how you mm-hmm. evolved, or just talk about all the solutions in one go. It's your show. We'll hear from you how you
I
want
know the
to
story,
explain it.
So don't worry. I think it makes sense to have some context because the origin of the company explains a lot where we are now. So we started being a technology company. Mm-hmm. So we provided. I was hired by Minoru to make a booking engine, actually.
Okay.
So I made the first booking engine of Mirai was 19 1997. And internet was kind of new, so nobody had internet at home. Businesses didn't have internet either. The internet was only present at the universities and the Ministry of Defense, and pretty much that was it, right? So and when we went to the market to sell a booking engine to hotels, we found out that it was the bad timing. So
yeah,
the time to market was terrible. So because the hotels didn't know what the internet was, they didn't have a website, they didn't have internet connection. So we had to start, we had to adapt, and we had to create the opportunity for them. And that was developing websites. We were an internet provider.
Okay.
We were an email service provider because they didn't have email.
Wow.
And so we had to implement all those solutions to sell a booking engine. Mm-hmm. It was funny, right? In order to sell
one product, thing, you had to sell others.
Four things before that were not your core market,
yeah,
but your core product. But at the same time, if you didn't do it, you didn't have an option, right?
No,
so,
exactly. So
that was the first steps of Mirai, pure technology company, website, internet, email, design, everything, right? And second stage was that we found out that many hotels didn't understand what the direct channel was, right?
Okay, yeah.
And well, I would say that many still don't understand it, right? But fortunately, it's just a minority.
Yeah.
But at the time, they didn't understand at all. So they thought that direct should be free, the same way that they get a phone call and they get a booking through the
okay.
phone.
Yep.
They said that if I get a free booking by the phone, I get a free booking by my website. And of course, it didn't make any sense. But at the time, it was kind of a mantra. And I don't know why that happened, but it did. So what we did at the time was, okay, so let's go to the OTA side, because if you don't understand it, we will go to the bad side, the dark side, right? And become an OTA. And we did try to become an OTA, but we failed. And because Expedia and Booking were already growing a lot.
Yeah, in that space. Yeah.
And OTAs, and you know how it works, it is like oligopoly. So
yeah,
they cannot be a lot of companies. So we failed, we lost a lot of money, but the good thing is that we learn a lot. We learn a lot about marketing, about SEO, SEM, about the conversion rate, the metrics. We learn a lot. And we went back to the direct channel. The 2-3 years that lasted this experience, hotels evolved, their mindset evolved, and they understood better.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back, and then we stopped doing just technology and moved to technology and marketing, because we had learned a lot about marketing, and it was a boost in sales, because if you did good marketing, and marketing was so cheap, because there were no one bidding, right?
Yeah.
So it was like 0.01 cent for each click. Now it's 0.4. Right now,
yeah,
it's like 40 times below, which
yeah,
it was really, really profitable, right? And but it only lasted 2-3 years. Everybody just went to the Google Ads. This is why Google is what Google is, right? So
yeah,
everybody went there, and so we were delivering technology, we were delivering marketing, right? And we still saw huge differences between one hotel and another hotel with exactly the same technology and marketing and different performance. One hotel was selling very well and the other was selling very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So as a conclusion, there has to be something else.
Yeah.
Now it seems pretty obvious, but at the time, 7 years ago, it wasn't, right?
No, it wasn't.
So
no.
We went to the hotel. We asked them to open their systems, to open their information, to open their procedures, their decision-making process. And we understood that they were acting completely different way. So one was doing like a protecting a lot of their direct channel, closing inventory to the OTAs in high peak days, and having a value proposition, booking direct, better price, mm-hmm, not allowing Expedia to undercut them. So, of course, they were isolated cases, but they were doing very well. So this is I mean, we focus on these 5, 10, 20 hotels. We kind of dedicate a lot of time researching, and we kind of define a to-do list, right? Like a framework. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's a framework, right?
Yeah.
And we took that framework and tried to apply to the different hotels with substantial and very effective results. Because if you change the way they drive, you can drive better with the same car.
Yeah.
So it's like I always tell my clients that this is like a Formula One race, and you have a car. Maybe you don't have the best car. You don't have the McLaren, but you have a good car. But you have a lot of problems. If you want to compete with the McLaren, first of all, you have six cars in between.
Yeah.
But six cars, which is many OTAs, many tour operators, many bed banks. First of all, they don't have value many of the times. So you need to identify what cars you want to keep and just discard the rest, which is a cleaning your channel mix.
Yeah.
And then you have a little space between the first one, which is Booking, Expedia, and your car. And now if you drive wisely, you can close the gap, right? And with the same car, you need to have like the best technology ever. And you have to acknowledge that you will never have better technology than Booking.
Sure.
Booking.com is 80 billion market cap. Yeah. So they will have, by definition, the best technology ever, right? So you need to compete in a different way. So that's driving your car in a wiser way, because at the end of the day, the rooms are yours and you control their inventory, right?
Yeah.
So it is like we ended up putting on the table three value propositions, which is technology, mainly metasearch, booking engine, and web design. We, of course, discontinue email, discontinue internet provider. We discontinued lots of the services we needed 20 years ago. We put on the table marketing with very sophisticated marketing techniques, ads, metasearch, display, retargeting, Gmail ads, lots of things. And we started hiring hoteliers, savvy hoteliers. Not technicians, not marketing, but consultants in distribution. So we are in these three legs in a kind of full stack solution.
Yeah.
So it's I think it works very well, but it is not easy for many hotels to understand it, because they always compare us with just one of the legs. Technology is very cheap. Yeah, but it's just the technology part.
Yes, you've got to do the rest of it. Yeah,
exactly. So it is the most difficult part for us. It's just communicating and helping the hotel not compare. I mean, just compare apples to apples, not apples with pears.
Yeah.
And they love it. But of course, when we put a price tag, because we work in a commission model, because in a consultancy, in marketing, that's hours of our team, right? Isn't it just technology? Oh, but it sounds expensive. It might sound expensive, but it is not. I mean, it is profitable.
Yeah.
And if it's profitable, that means that it's better, right? Yeah. But this is probably the biggest cons in our sales pitch, is that it sounds expensive, because they think that at the end of the day, oh, but my PMS gives away the booking menu for free.
Yes.
Oh. So I wasted 1 hour explaining, because you didn't get anything, right? So it is difficult, but we are happy with the hotels that we work with, and they are happy with us.
I mean, it's what you do, I think, and this has been a discussion that goes on around all the technology. It's the same discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, large part of our audience are revenue professionals, and there's always been that discussion about the RMS replacing the revenue professional, and it's not that the technology does the job for you. You still need somebody that's going to utilize what it is producing to do something commercial or strategic with it to help drive additional revenue and additional profits. That's the element that you're providing on top.
Absolutely. And that happened all the time. I mean, the every 100 years, there are a couple of breakthrough changes, right? Disruptive changes.
Yeah.
And the first reaction is fear. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my blah, blah. So people are wary of the changes. So, but you don't have an option but to adapt, right?
Yeah.
And you need to learn how to use it. An RMS will never replace revenue management. However, it will replace the most common standard automatic and a procedure task that the revenue manager do.
Yes.
So you have revenue managers that will have more time to think.
Yeah.
right? But you need a driver. You may have a better car, but your car will never drive by themselves fast.
I look at finance as the example. You know, you used to write in your ledgers, your double book entry, and then Excel came along, and then accountancy solutions. But you don't see lots of finance managers or finance directors or accountants sitting around with nothing to do.
Yeah,
they just have evolved and add greater value now to the clients or the businesses.
That is funny because the few years ago we had our own fears that hotels might learn and change to a cheaper technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so far that didn't happen. And the reason why is that the distribution of internet and mobile, everything changes so fast.
Yeah.
So fast that the things that you learned 2 years ago might not be valid anymore.
Absolutely.
And if they are, you need to do two other new things.
Yeah.
So our challenge as a company, it is just putting on the table two, three new things every year. That might be mobile, HTTPS, payment processors, maybe video, 3D, book on Google, meta search. I mean, every new year, Mirai is kind of a new company. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That we learn about that when we have people, or especially women, that they go, they will leave for their maternities, and they go back after 1 year, and they, oh my God, this it looks like a different company. Right? Because I didn't know this, I didn't know that. So, wow, it was only 1 year, and you're talking about this thing that didn't exist when I left.
Yeah.
So the evolution is so fast.
And that's the thing that...
They understand it, right?
Yeah, the landscape that the hotels exist within to pull potential guests to them and convert them is continually changing. And so staying on top of that when you're trying to run a property and care for the guests that are already in there just becomes increasingly challenging as those external factors are constantly evolving and developing. And that's where organizations like you guys provide that expertise and be able to go in and support. One of the things I want to touch on, I'm very conscious of your mm-hmm. of your time as well.
No, that's not how it works.
But one of the things I wanted to touch on is we've been in a particularly difficult period globally, obviously with the pandemic that's gone on. A lot of people have been reducing budgets. A lot of people are looking at technology and trying to solve these problems.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I invest in technology? What solutions or consultancy do I invest in? Looking forward, because you know vaccines are coming, we can all start to be a bit more positive now. Possibly, if we look forward into 2021, what would your message be to hoteliers? What are you talking to your clients about? How your solutions, your advice, your expertise can be adding value to them to put them in that competitive position, because you've got to be out there. You know, we won't all be going back to where we were 2 years ago. And anyone that thinks we will is being slightly naive. It's probably going to take us a couple of years to get back to that position. So we will see an uptake, but it's still going to be very competitive to win that booking. So where do you see yourself fitting in to be helping your clients win that battle?
I mean, definitely 2020 was a terrible year for the travel industry. And it was a very bad year for us because we live in a commission model and we are struggling, but we are optimistic about the future. Why? I think this crisis will make Mirai stronger. Mm-hmm. Of course, we will have a very bad beginning of the year as every other company, but the vaccines are coming, as you say. And hotels need to understand that they have a unique opportunity to redefine their distribution. Many players will probably disappear by the time this crisis is over.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the other players that are still exist as tour operators, OTA, I think they have removed their masks. They hotels know who they are and if they are reliable or not.
Yeah.
Who have paid their bills, who have changed their cancellation policies in the back of the hotels. So I think hotels know who their partners are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that they will need to, I mean, to turn their backs to them, because that, and this is not what I'm saying, is that all the cards are on the table and hotels have a unique opportunity to say, okay, let me redefine my direct book strategy.
Yeah.
Because if this happens again, I don't want to be in the same position.
Yeah.
So hotels that did better during this crisis were those who had a better understanding of their client base, that they could talk to them, that they could reactivate them they didn't need the OTAs to create new demand. So
yeah.
So I think this is a lesson that is footprinted in many of the hoteliers, especially the second layer, right? Not the probably the owners, the founders, but the middle management that will lead the next crisis, right? Mm-hmm. So I think marketing budgets will double or triple in the next 2 to 5 years. Many of the hotels that didn't spend a cent in marketing will have to think about what they are doing. And the strategy of giving away everything to tour operators or OTAs is not valid anymore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
However, there is a temptation of many hotels to do exactly the same, which is, okay, give away my rooms.
It's a quick fix, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a quick fix. But in defense of the hotels, I would say that business is still profitable. So they may make a lot of money doing that. So it's not that they are stupid. Of course, they have hotels.
No,
they have
sure.
very profitable businesses. But they are not aware of the opportunities and the risks that they will have if they do it. And the opportunities that they will lose. I'm not talking about next 5 years. I'm talking about next 20 years.
Yeah.
Because maybe in 20 years, this model is not valid anymore. Right? So our value proposition is to be there to provide this state-of-the-art marketing services, consultancy, and the best technology. We have invested a lot in this year updating our technology with the minimum level of room nights ever,
yep.
right? But we're working on having better website, better booking menu, better experience, hoping that the demand will grow strong, especially in the online, especially in the direct.
Yeah.
Like this is so. I think in three, five years, we will look back, at least in the direct channel segment, and we will be happy to have had this crisis.
Yeah.
Because this will be definitely a turning point for the direct channel. That's my.
Hope. And as an aside as well, with what Google have been doing as well. You know, the OTAs have challenges coming at them from a number of different directions that hotels can also be exploiting. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of years ahead, I think.
Well, the Google thing is Google is probably the player that adds the most innovation every year. We were talking a few minutes ago about everything changes very fast, and I think Google is 60% of that change,
right?
So Google will definitely be an important player. Nobody knows yet in what direction, right? But for sure, it will have a huge,
It's going to have an impact, yeah.
An impact, that was the word, correct.
And the thing is, it's with Google, it's the ripples, isn't it? You know, they kind of drop something, and then it's okay, this ripple effect. As what Google is doing rolls out further, and it's seeing how how far those ripples go, how big the ripples are, and how you respond to that.
And don't forget the other big guys such as Amazon or maybe Facebook or
Absolutely.
Apple, right? So
they're all looking at that space.
Exactly. In 5 years, all these names will be around for sure.
Yeah. So then, you know, do you have those four other names that you or the three others that you've mentioned along with Google? Does Expedia and Booking change? Do they get acquired? You know, there are many things to watch going forward.
They are huge companies for us and for hotel industries, but they are not that huge for the really, really big guys, right?
Yeah,
so
no,
I think both of them can be acquired. Hopefully they will not let that happen, right?
Yeah.
Because it will be a huge concentration of power.
Absolutely.
But in terms of money, it's easy.
It's feasible.
Them, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, look, it's really, really interesting. Great to have the chance to sit down with you. As I say, we'll find some topics over the coming months to do a deeper dive into some of the core issues that you see coming up. But just wanted to give a chance for our audience to hear about you guys, what you're all about, and also, you know, formally welcome you on board. It's great to have you with us, and look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It was a pleasure, and happy to be involved with you. Very happy.
Much appreciated. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Trevor.
Take care.
So that's the end of our conversation today. I'd like to thank Pablo for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting. Feel free to get in touch if you have any questions. We're always interested in your thoughts, and we're happy to follow up with our guest. You can reach us via our socials or email us at insights, insights, at revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do see it on YouTube, please do subscribe. That would be great, as it really helps us out. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.